My guest has arrived. He's been here for a while, actually. We've been having a natter whilst music has been playing. Paul Wines is his name, and as I mentioned earlier on, Paul is involved with a graphic novel called Wild Hare, The Shadow of the Fox, which is published by Candy Jar. Our friends from Newport Road in Cardiff here, and they kindly find me lots of interesting authors to come in and have a chat about their work, and Paul will be no exception. I'm sure he will. I've told him he has to be interesting, otherwise we'll throw him out. No, that's not true. Paul, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you, Kerry.
Top man. Now then, Paul, you've come up by train this morning from a little bit further west. So please tell us where you've come from.
I have come from Maesteg.
Maesteg, there is a place. There is a place that I know quite well from the dim, distant past. And are you a Maesteg boy through and through?
100%.
Okay, tell us about your life, Paul.
I went to a Welsh school, to Derwen in Maesteg. Then I went to Reid Felin Welsh School in Pontypridd.
Right.
Very posh. And then I went to work in the steelworks. I've worked in the paper mills.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the car industry.
And varied,
I finished off as a carer.
Okay.
For people with learning diffs.
Yes. So you've come in today armed with a copy of your new book, which has two different covers, and no doubt we'll touch on that in due course. But it's a graphic novel aimed at children. What sort of age range of children would you say will be attracted to this?
Approximately 7 to 11.
Yeah. 7 to 11. So, Wild Hare, The Shadow of the Fox. And I have to say, the graphics in it really, really are top class, and that's something we'll touch on a little bit in due course. But I mean, first up then, where did the idea come from for the book?
Unfortunately, I have so many ideas flooding through my head that when I have a chance, I have to put them down on paper, and that's where this story evolved from. It was just a thought that was in my mind.
Yeah.
And I could see the characters, and I could just about think how to put it together. I've never really written a novel, but a graphic novel would be ideal because I could see it as the pictures evolved,
mm-hmm.
and I could see the characters growing. As well as that, it would involve somebody else's input into the book too.
Yes, yes.
So it would make it more interesting for me as well.
Okay, all right. I mean, I'm interested you say that. You said, unfortunately, you get all these ideas coming into your head. I mean, I'm sure many, many people would say, well, what a great thing actually that is. But on the other hand, I suppose, yeah, if you're constantly having all these things going through your head, I mean, you can't write them down quick enough.
No, I've got several graphic novels on the go at the moment.
Right, right.
Including one about Merlin, one about somebody who gets a superhero,
mm-hmm.
which I don't really write about, but this superhero is a young boy who gets caught up in cat and dog DNA. So
right.
He has the superpowers of a dog and a cat.
Wow. I mean, that's a bit mind-boggling, really, but I'm sure we'll have to wait, obviously, to see how that all turns out. Now then, graphic novels, though. Let's just talk a little bit in general about graphic novels, the genre. And I mean, I guess this takes us back, doesn't it, 50, 60, 70 years, really, back to the days of the Marvel comics. And I mean, I know you were saying earlier on, it's something that you've got to really make that slight differential about, haven't you, really, between the idea of graphic novels and comics?
Absolutely. I spent my childhood years sitting down in front of the television, as we were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
but also colouring and drawing Thor and the X-Men.
Right.
That was my, at the time, that was my thing.
Yeah, yes, yes.
I really enjoyed that. But as I grew older and stopped drawing, and I realise now that my best sort of drawing is a stick man.
Right. Okay. I expect mine would be too, frankly. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I had to go out and find an artist.
Yes.
Who I could actually work with.
Okay. But clearly, those childhood influences of things like Thor, and I suppose in my case when I was a kid, I think Spider-Man probably was my sort of superhero of choice, even though you obviously had people like Superman. There was something about Spider-Man that I just found fascinating, really. And I don't know why, because I'm not a fan of spiders. But yeah, I think Spider-Man was my man. And most people, probably of a certain age, dare we say it, will always say, oh yeah, well, for me, it was, you know, Catwoman, it was Thor, it was the Incredible Hulk, it was this, it was that.
Batman.
Batman. You see, now there's another thing. Batman, I mean, like most kids of an age, the Batman and Robin series with Adam West and Burt Ward on TV was a classic. But I mean, as we've also said off air, you know, back in the day when you were sat in front of the TV, you only had a choice of three channels. So, I mean, from a kid's perspective, at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 5:30, whatever it was, I mean, you watched what they gave you, didn't you?
Absolutely. But what better than sitting down and watching Batman and Robin and Burgess Meredith and all the gang?
It was a great series, wasn't it? It was gloriously camp in its own way. But of course, when we were kids, we didn't really understand the sort of nuances, did we, really,
no,
of that? But I mean, it was great fun. And I mean, you know, everybody wanted a Batmobile, didn't they?
Absolutely. I think my brother had one at the time.
Well, there you are. Absolutely that. So clearly those influences have stayed with you. And because of that, I guess, when you decided, yeah, you really wanted to do a novel and or something for the younger generation, the idea of it being a graphic novel was an easy choice to make, I suppose.
Yes, I've always been interested in things like, I don't know if you remember David Kossoff.
Yes, I do.
He was one of the best storytellers.
Great storyteller.
I can remember.
Yeah, yes.
And I've always wanted to do something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this particular story is something completely different to what he would have done.
No, understood. But what you are saying, though, is you just love that whole genre of storytelling and sort of hooking children's and adults alike into your world and telling a story, letting it unfold at your pace and having all those twists and turns.
That's right. This particular book has a Disney type theme.
Mm-hmm.
It has a Asterix the Gaul type theme, if you want to put it into that perspective. It also has a Hanna-Barbera type theme in it.
Right, right.
So it's a mixture of all my experiences as a child.
Got you.
Into this particular book.
Let's develop the whole plot a little bit then. What is it really all about? I mean, I've told people a little bit. There's a fox in it and, you know, pays a visit to some chickens with some disastrous results. But, you know, give us the full story, so to speak, without giving the end away.
If I give the end away, it wouldn't be that important anyway.
Right.
Because
there's
a lot of different things in the story itself.
Yeah.
A little bit of shockers, well, not shockers, but nice little things, nice little cameos.
Okay.
The story is about a man who goes to a nearby castle to buy some food. Then, a few months later, he finds himself strapped for cash, as we all do at times.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes up with a cunning plan and disguises himself as a fox, but he also disguises his dog as a fox. They go to the castle at night, break in, and unfortunately, he breaks into the chicken shed rather than the food shed.
Right.
And that causes quite a riot. He manages to escape over the wall, and as he escapes, one of the guards think about shooting him, but he dives down behind a rock.
Yeah.
And this huge fox suddenly appears as something small and runs away, mm-hmm, which puzzles everybody. You'd have to read the book to find out exactly what happened.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. So it sounds to me then as though it's got a lot of different meanings, and different people obviously are going to get different things from the book. And as we said, whilst yes, ideally it's aimed at children of a certain age, I got a feeling that probably adults might quite enjoy flicking through it as well.
I think you're quite right there. Mm. My children, were adults, like the pigeons in there, who are a cameo.
Right.
But they're like the birds on Dumbo.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They do that sort of thing. They take that sort of role in the comic.
Right.
In the graphic novel.
Yes.
And it's a fun thing.
Mm.
It's a fun book. It's meant to be a fun book. It's meant to be interesting for reluctant readers.
Okay. Yes. Which is a fair point. And I mean, you know, if you achieve anything, and you get kids, or indeed young adults, whatever, who aren't really that on board with the whole concept of reading, getting them to open the book up and skim through it, or indeed read it from cover to cover, well, you know, you've done a service.
Yes, well, I hope so. I've been into two schools already.
Okay.
And the schools love them. The teachers loved them.
Yes.
So I was hoping that they might even get me back there again, mm-hmm. to talk some more about it, because it's not just a one-off book. It's going to be a series of books.
Right, yes, indeed.
And as the story evolves, there are more characters coming out into the fore as well.
Understood.
At the moment, the main characters is Gwilym Wildhair,
mm-hmm.
Because he has Wildhair.
Wildhair,
which,
yes,
is tamed at the moment. Zach, who is the fox, the naughty neighbour.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy called Hoof, which is the strong man.
Yeah.
And he ends up picking his horse up when he gets to the top of the hill because the horse is tired.
Right. So he is a strong man.
And then you have the pigeons.
Yeah.
Who talk. You have dogs that talk as well. And you also have horses that talk.
Wow. Well, there we are. Well, that's quite a menagerie, really. And as you say, you've got all these characters ready then to continue their adventures, and presumably more characters to introduce then in subsequent books.
Yes. I don't like to place the book in one particular time zone.
Right.
Or one particular historical slot.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started out, Joe and myself, we actually did it in a time slot.
Right.
And I realised that if I put it in that particular time slot in history, that it wouldn't work in other places. So we've decided not to print the 10 pages that we've already done.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right.
So we know things are going to happen. And in the next book, they meet a Greek storyteller.
Uh-huh.
And they have the story of Ariadne and the Minotaur in Crete.
Yes.
And I won't tell you too much. Well, you can read about that yourself.
That's what we need to find out about in due course. So clearly, you absolutely have a vision for the books and the series that's going to be coming up. And I think you said to me whilst we were listening to that last piece of music, the hope is that probably about the end of the summer next year, or possibly a little bit earlier, we'll see the second book published.
Yes, that's our hope.
Yes.
It's looking good at the moment.
Excellent.
And Joe is on page 24 at the moment.
Right.
And we've just recently tried to get somebody else to come and help us in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can push things on a little bit quicker.
If people want to get more information, Paul, then we're saying go to the Candy Jar website.
Yes. The book itself... is good bedtime reading for your children, to be quite honest with you. There's nothing scary in it or anything like that.
No.
So it's a good bedtime read, or even if you want to read it to your children.
Yes.
But I as I said earlier, I'd like people to go into a bookshop and order it, or going to WH Smith's. Sorry about the advert for
no,
them.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, not you.
And go in there and order it, because it's important that these shops know that these books are out there.
Yes, yes.
Authors want to get their books into shops, and the only way we can do it is through you.
Well, that's very true. And there is nothing sadder than hearing about another bookshop, an independent bookshop that's had to close, because I think most people will remember when they were younger the great fun they had going into bookshops and looking at new titles, or indeed sometimes they might be secondhand bookshops. And what a shame if they all have to disappear and all we're ever doing is buying books online.
That's true. I do myself buy books online, but only things that have just come in out. But I would much prefer to go to a bookshop and pick things up.
Fair. Yeah, no, it's a fair point. So the next book in the series, a title do we have?
No, it doesn't have a title at
no
the moment.
Oh, no title yet. Right, okay.
But it's very exciting, actually, because we can see the characters developing.
Mm-hmm.
We can see the storylines developing. Sean had quite an eye-opener when he saw the pages that I have sent him.
Yes, yes.
Which was nice. And the third story in the series, that is excellent. That is a really nice story. And in the fourth one, we actually introduce a baddie.
Right.
And he is a real shocker.
So you've clearly got your work cut out then over the next couple of years.
Well, that's what we aim to do.
Yes, yes.
That's what we aim to do. We'd like it to go further, but at the moment, a book is fantastic.
Mm.
I'd like to see an animation of it myself.
Well, I mean, that would really be the icing on the cake, wouldn't it? If as you say, if a TV company was to pick it up and run with it, and there's no reason why they shouldn't.
No, because the characters are there,
yeah.
And the artwork has brought the characters out no end.
Well, Paul, it's been great fun having you in the studio this morning to talk about the book, and I certainly am sure it's going to be very, very popular with your target audience. Wild Hare, The Shadow of the Fox by Paul Wines, published by Candy Jar here in Cardiff. As we said, if you want to go on the Candy Jar website, you will find all the information that you need for the book, and could be a nice little Christmas gift for your children or grandchildren or friends' children, whatever. I mean, why not? Paul, thank you so much, as I say, for coming in, and please come in again maybe sometime in the new year and tell us how plans are progressing.
Thank you very much, Gary.